You know, it's interesting. It was Zig Ziglar who said that you can have everything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And there is no one in the business arena that I've ever seen take this philosophy to heart and just be it. And Mark has really done this. Mark has helped thousands of people realize their potential, and many of them have gone on to earn significant six-figure yearly incomes. And as a byproduct of that, Mark has been able to achieve the top 1% income earners worldwide. And he's done that through caring and through staying focused on others. And he's just a master at identifying winning business trends and then, most importantly, acting on them. You know, one of the things that I've always said over the last many years, Mark is he's just been tremendous about reinventing himself and continually sharpening his skills and keeping himself at the top of his game. I've never seen anyone in business as sharp as Mark and keeping himself up to speed. So tonight we'll be learning from the best of the best. So please help me welcome the incredible Mark Scovran. Take it away, Mark.
Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for your generous introduction. I, too, want to welcome everyone to the call tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule, just like I am. It lets me know that you have a bigger commitment than most to yourself, to your personal growth and evolution, to your family, to your community, to your company, to your business, and to the world in general. Because, you know, this coursework that we started last week, we did the introduction, and then tonight actually is section one, and then we go through five total sections right up into the holidays. In this course, you were born rich, and it's just amazing. We didn't teach business fundamentals last week. We're not teaching them tonight. We're not going to be teaching them for the next several weeks. What we're teaching is, at the core level, some things that you have to understand, some things that you're going to simply have to embrace if you want to become more successful in business and in life as you've been in the past. You know, a few years ago, I decided to take an entire year. Let me back up and just tell you this. I'm a voracious reader. I wake up early in the morning, and I read lots of useful information all over the blogs and internet newspapers, not all the trash and the nonsense and who's Zoom and who, and that kind of, I could care less about the kind of stuff. But every morning I read about events that are relevant to what's going on, trend-setting events, important events to our culture, to our nation, and to the world. And, I read an incredible amount of books a year, do a lot of coursework. You know, I took a year several years back, and I took the entire year, and instead of studying on leadership and this and that and the other and all these different things, I took an entire year and dedicated it to the study of prosperity and abundance. And I thought that what I was going to do, I thought that I was going to just learn about how to make more money and teach others how to make more money. Man, if you'd have asked me at the beginning of the year, Mark, what are you studying? I said, prosperity and abundance. I'm going to learn how to help people make more money and also make more money myself. I kind of like thought that that's how it was going to go. Well, very quickly, within a few months of my study and dedication and commitment to an entire year of studying nothing but prosperity and abundance, well, was I in for a big surprise. Now, that is what I ended up studying, and that is what this coursework is about over the next few weeks, and especially as we get into it tonight. But, you know, there's going to be times when I'm teaching you tonight and training you for the next few weeks that you might ask yourself, what in the world, why, how does this tie in to what it is that we're supposed to be training on? Just trust me, walk with me, take the notes, and let it sink in, and you're going to see we're doing the real core work tonight. We're laying the foundation, ladies and gentlemen. Before you build any great structure, you have to lay a significant foundation, and that's what we're going to be doing. So it started with last week's introduction. By the way, this course is adapted from Bob Proctor's course by the same name. The Bob Proctor audio series sells for $595. The actual course, if you do it live, costs a lot more than that. We realize a lot of people simply won't spend that amount of money on an audio series or coursework. So what I've done is studied the course intensely, distilled the most important information and technology from the course, and I'm going to be making it available to everyone that tunes in for absolutely free. So that's the great news. The other great news, but the challenging news, is you're going to have to do the work of the course if you want the benefit. You can't just listen. You have to put this technology to work in your life. Come walk with us for the next 5 weeks as we reveal the secret that has been kept from you all along. And that's that you were actually born rich to begin with. And we're going to teach you how to manifest it in your life today. This course will make a world of difference for you in 2012, also before 2012. But 2012, you're going to see it pay off in a big way. It'll show you how to create a new life, one that you're entitled to live as you discover this secret that has eluded many of you. And that's that you were born rich. And we're going to teach you how to claim it. So let's begin to prepare our minds to understand and manifest the results of being born rich. Now, remember last week's introduction. By the way, how did you do with last week's introduction? I gave you six simple things to do. I asked you to do six simple things between last week and this week. Wonder if you can remember what they are. Wonder how you did with them. The first one was make a commitment to yourself to be on the call each week. Well, if you were on last week and you're on this week, you're batting 100 for 100. The second thing I said was make a commitment to yourself to be on early. You know, be on time, which I said is early by a couple of minutes, each week. Wonder how most of you are doing with that. I see by the attendance scoreboard on the computer, we're hitting the highest numbers in attendance we've ever had since we've been having training calls, and so I would say that that is, in fact, occurring. Number three, I said each week be in a quiet spot with a notebook, journal, something to write on, and a pen to take notes. I'll bet many of you are able to accomplish that. It's not too terribly difficult. I said, here's where it gets challenging for the next several weeks. Don't read or watch the news. Now, I just got done telling you, you know, I read the news. But what I'm intentionally asking you to do is to mostly not do that, because to attempt to get you away, to take a 30-day period and to get you to unplug from the negativity about money, about the economy, about the politics, about who's lying and who's not, about who's doing what to who, and just all the nonsense going on out there. You know, to stay unplugged away from that. Hey, you're not going to miss that. Really, believe me, wait till you see how your life picks up and improves when you don't do that. Number five, I asked you not to participate in conversations about the economy, how rough it is out there, or what people are saying, how rough it is out there, or anything negative. And I also asked you for the next several weeks during the entire course not to participate in gossip, even if it meant you turning on your heels and walking away from a conversation and people thinking you were rude. Let them think you're rude, but don't let them pollute your mind. And finally, I said, why don't you invite five people to be on these calls? Whether or not they're in your business makes no difference. Make a sincere effort to pay this forward, and you'll understand as we do the course. And then I said, for extra credit, give some money away. Raise your hand if you gave money away. I said I didn't care about the amount. I said let yourself decide what that is. I didn't care who you gave it to, okay? But just make it somebody that perhaps could use the money. And give some money to someone who could use it, I said. $5, $100, $1,000, whatever it is, you know? And we joked about it. We said, well, some of you may be saying, well, Mark, I could really use the money. Well, then the answer is you really, really need to give the money, okay? And so this is all going to make more sense to you as we get into the course week by week, I absolutely promise. So I encourage you to continue with those six simple things, all right? Each and every week will contain lessons, stories, universal laws for attainment, and each week you will be presented with challenges to grow you into a state of where you can receive more money than you ever have in the past. Now, are you ready for that? Okay, are you sure? Now let's begin with our first installment of You Were Born to Be Rich. This is section one. We're going to be talking about several things tonight. What I want to start off with tonight is I want to tell you that money is important. Okay? Money is important. In fact, consider this. Money will have a greater influence on your life than almost any other commodity you can think of. Indeed, the sudden loss or acquisition of money will affect your attitude to a tremendous extent. Most people either overestimate the importance of money in their lives and allow its attainment to displace equally or more important objectives such as family, relationships, spirituality, or health, just to name a few. This is easy to spot and is quick to be pointed out by theologians and self-righteous religious people. And in a way, they are correct. The other side of the same coin, however, is not as often considered, and yet it is equally as important. You see, the sad fact is that 95% of the people walking the planet will settle for whatever they get. They're going to wish they always had more, from the cradle to the grave. But worse, they will never come to understand that they could have had all they ever wanted. And now I want to warn you, in all fairness, that in this very section of the training tonight, in particular, things are going to get a little uncomfortable for you. For some of you, they might become quite uncomfortable. Some of you are going to have all kinds of experiences, and I want to let you know that many of you will even experience physical things as you find your mind beginning to wander while I'm speaking. Perhaps you'll become very tired very quickly, start yawning. Many of you might become agitated by the material and information that I'm presenting. This is the subconscious's way, your subconscious mind. It's its way of doing its job to keep you from considering something that will call into the daylight and cause you to question things that perhaps you have held as truths for years and even decades throughout your lifetime, which are not truths at all, but rather stories that you've just accepted. You're encouraged to stay with the program, take notes, try not to judge, and consider a point of view and a technology that could perhaps change your life in a wonderful way forever. Now, how many times have you heard people say in conversation things like, money isn't everything, money isn't important, I don't care about money? Well, the people who say these things might not care about money, or they might profess that they don't care about money, but I'll bet the company that holds their car note cares. I bet their insurance company cares. The grocery store cares, and so does the person who holds the mortgage. In truth, there can be no denial of the fact that money is important to any person living in a civilized society. You know, even spiritual and or religious people have to admit it takes money to keep the church lights on, or the place of worship's lights on. Therefore, to argue that it is not important as this or that is absurd. Now, I'm going to make several comments tonight that are going to be very striking. And I'm going to try to speak without offending, but I want to challenge you to try to listen without defending. Nothing can take the place of money in the arena in which it's used. Now let's talk about money in its proper role. Let me help you frame where money should be. Money should be a servant. You see, now that I have affirmed the importance of money, let me backtrack to add this one word of caution, and always remember this. In fact, if you get this out of order, you're going to be in very deep trouble. In fact, I'll tell you, many of you have probably got, statistically, many of you have gotten this out of order and it caused you big hardship, okay? And that is money. Always remember, money is a servant and you are the master. Be careful not to reverse that equation, because many people of high intelligence have already done so to their great detriment. Unfortunately, many of these poor souls loved money and used people. I see it all over. You do too, in business, in politics. Unfortunately, even in our spiritual walk and with our spiritual leaders, it even comes into play. It violates one of the most basic laws governing true financial success, and that's this. You should always love people and use money rather than the reverse. You see, another myth many people like to accept about money is that it only comes as the result of luck or good fortune. For instance, whenever people gather to talk about someone who they know who has become financially successful, there is always someone among them who will say, oh, well, you know, Jeff just got lucky. Jeff was in the right place at the right time. In fact, Jeff and I joke about that sometimes. You know, we've been in the industry for 24 years, have been blessed to have been paid millions of dollars during that time. We're very thankful for that. That's not an arrogant brag. That's just thankfulness, and we're blessed that's occurred. But it's interesting, the times that we've overheard people say, well, Mark and Jeff were just in the right place at the right time. I want to assure you that in no uncertain terms, that although luck obviously plays some part of financial success, it is never sufficient in and of itself. Money is an effect, and it must always be earned. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there are no free rides in this life, and the only people who are making money the easy way either work in the mint or are on their way to jail, if they have not already arrived there. Therefore, always bear in mind that while good fortune is a factor in financial success, it must always be coupled with effort and hard work. Okay, so what we've established is money is important, money is a servant, and the third thing is that you should know is that money must circulate. Money is energy in its purest form. Money isn't the paper or the coins that you hold in your hand or the balance in your checking account. Money at its purest form is energy. Its tangible form is paper, coins, and balances in your checking account. You see, money is only valuable as long as it's being used. Once it has been taken out of circulation, it becomes as worthless as some old newspapers or empty soda cans that have been stashed away in your attic. Money is not meant to be taken out of circulation. Rather, it's meant to be used, enjoyed, and circulated. You know, years ago, this brings me to a dramatic story, an illustration. Years ago, there was a story that was in the papers, and it was a story of, we're going to call him Old Mr. Chapman. Mr. Chapman, the true story, was an elderly gentleman, lived a few doors down the street from, you know, in any typical neighborhood, but in a neighborhood in particular. And although there was a tremendous age difference, Mr. Chapman became friends with a lot of the young people in the neighborhood and used to coach and mentor them. And he was just a nice guy, you know. People in the neighborhood used to watch him pushing his small junk cart up and down the block. You see, Mr. Chapman actually worked as a junk dealer, and he made his living by picking up the things other people had to throw away. As the years went by, however, Mr. Chapman became more and more stooped in his labors, and one day, shortly after World War II, he passed away. Since he lived alone and apparently had no close relatives living nearby, the police entered his house to take stock of his possessions. Not surprisingly, they found the house littered with many old furnishings and assorted memorabilia from Mr. Chapman's past. However, much to their amazement, the police also discovered, and keep in mind, this was just after World War II, keep in mind, to their amazement, the police discovered over $100,000 in cash in old bills packed in boxes throughout the house. Now, quick to pick up on the unusual occurrence, a newspaper carried a front-page story the next day about Mr. Chapman, in which it asked the obvious question, why would an individual worth over $100,000, which would be much more than that today, choose to keep his money stashed away in old boxes strewn haphazardly throughout his house? Well, you know something? I guess we'll never know. But this is the point of the story. Money is not meant to be hoarded. Rather, it's meant to be used. It's meant to be enjoyed. It's meant to be circulated. It's meant to be given. It's meant to be invested. All of these different things. So please, whatever you choose to do with your money, don't make the mistake, the same mistake that poor old Mr. Chapman did. Please note that when I suggest that money should be kept in circulation, be careful here, Mark is not saying that it should be squandered. There's a world of difference between these two concepts, and if you haven't found out what the difference is yet, I suggest you find out as soon as possible. Now, I want to conduct with you, just real quickly, a prosperity consciousness exercise. See, now that we've touched upon some of the basic characteristics of money, right? Characteristics of money are that money's important, money's a servant, Money must circulate. All right. Let us turn briefly to a simple technique which you can begin using immediately to start attracting the amount of money that you desire. This is called developing a prosperity consciousness. The first thing I want you to do is to picture yourself. Now listen carefully to this. Picture yourself in your mind's eye sitting in a room with several of your friends. Then I want you to visualize yourself announcing to them your intention of becoming wealthy, at least wealthy enough to live the way that you choose. Now imagine how it would make you feel. If you were like most people, you would probably feel actually very uncomfortable. I'm talking about you sitting with all of your friends and relatives and saying, I intend to be wealthy and earn this much a year. Perhaps you would feel so uncomfortable that you might even retract what you had said and informing all your friends, wait a minute, I was only joking. You should understand, however, that people who are wealthy, people who have a lot of money, never feel uncomfortable when the subject of money is brought up. Well, why don't they, you ask? The most obvious answer would be because they already have lots of it. However, that's just not the correct answer. You should realize that people, now please get this principle. Here's a key principle. People don't feel comfortable about money because they have it. They have money because they feel comfortable about it. Let me repeat that. People don't feel comfortable about money because they have it. It doesn't go in that order. Actually, it will never occur in that order. But they have money because they are comfortable about it. In other words, one of the reasons that wealthy people have money is that they have developed a state of consciousness, which I just referred to a moment ago as prosperity consciousness. Therefore, it follows if we wish to attract money to ourselves, you and I, we must begin to foster a prosperity consciousness as well. So the question you should be asking yourself right now is, and I know you're asking yourself, all right, Mark, you're saying, Mark, how do I go about developing this prosperity consciousness for myself? All right, let's look at that. The best way to develop a prosperity consciousness is to start seeing yourself in your mind's eye already in possession of the amount of money that you desire. I'm going to repeat that. The best way for you to develop a prosperity consciousness is to start seeing yourself right now in your mind's eye already in possession of the amount of money you desire. It's going to key off several things, both excitement and exhilaration and also a feeling of uncomfortableness right away. But the reason this is so, the reason you should do this is that the subconscious mind cannot distinguish the difference between the actual possession of money and mere visualization, especially the more you visualize it and the more you affirm it. You will soon begin to become very comfortable with the idea of money. And as a result, you will start attracting it to yourself. You say, wait a minute, Mark, hold on. You telling me all I have to do is visualize it and think about it, become comfortable with it, and I'll start attracting it? The answer is yes. However, I said that's just the start. That is the start. And by the way, it's a necessary start. Now, this may seem like a game you're playing and perhaps a trick you're trying to play on yourself, but let me assure you it's one of the wisest things you can possibly do. And I'm not speaking from theory. I promise you I'm speaking from experience. For when you succeed in convincing your subconscious mind that you're wealthy and that it feels good to be wealthy and that you deserve to be wealthy, your subconscious mind will automatically seek ways of making your imaginary feelings of wealth manifest themselves in material form. Okay, now that we've touched upon a technique which will help you acquire greater wealth, let me offer this further word of warning. And please heed this. If you want to have money, one thing you should never, never do is worry about whether or not you will get the money you desire or whether you will get to keep it. Let me explain this. Let me say this to you again. This is so important. I wish that we had the whole night to spend right here. If you want to have money, the one thing you can never, ever do. And ladies and gentlemen, if you find yourself doing it, you have to stop. You know, a lot of times when I have a negative thought, personally, you know, people that are really, really close friends of mine, Jeff Pelton and my family and my sister and people that are hang around me a lot, I guess they love me quite a bit, and they, you know, hopefully they're close to me, and but they also think I'm a little bit nuts. At least they kid me about that. Because I'll have a negative thought, or I'll make a comment, maybe I'll make a statement, and I'll use words that are tentative, like I think, or maybe I'll say something even negative or about something not lasting, or whatever, and I'll say, stop. I cancel that statement. I withdraw that statement. I cancel that statement, and then I make a new statement. To which my sister or really good friends usually roll their eyes, and they go, oh, here goes Mark practicing his stuff again, you know? But one thing you must never, ever do if you want to have money and you want to keep it is worry about it, worry about whether or not you're going to get it or whether or not you're going to keep it. Let me elaborate, okay? There's a great book called The Bible, and in it there's this guy named Job, okay? Job's quite a character for a lot of different reasons. He's the great sufferer of biblical times, and he makes the following remark. Behold, now the thing I fear has come to visit upon me. Can you believe that? He says, behold, now the thing I fear has come to visit upon me. Now stop and ask yourself, if you will, what those biblical words mean to those of us concerned about money today. Well, one thing they certainly mean is that if we insist upon constantly worrying about not having enough money, or if we habitually worry about losing the money we do have, then we are absolutely guaranteed not to worry in vain. For just as surely as Job was afflicted by many of his maladies, so too shall we be afflicted by the lack or the loss of money. To take a more contemporary example, let us consider again the tragic case of poor old Mr. Chapman. As you will recall, he was an elderly gentleman who never spent any of his hard-earned savings. But the question is, why didn't he? Most likely it was because he was afraid that if he spent his money, he would become poor and hence would be forced to live like a pauper. The irony was, however, that because of his fear, guess what? He did live like a pauper anyway, even though he had money. Or, to be more biblical about it, the thing that he feared came to visit upon him. You know, in a later session, you'll be given a fuller explanation of the paradox of why we attract into our lives the very things that we least desire. But for now, suffice to say, worrying about money is always extremely counterproductive. This principle holds true even if you rationalize your worry with the old platitude that you're just saving for a rainy day. Don't let the things that we've been ingrained with the past or from the past, even from people who had the best intentions, don't let those become the principles by which you live by today. Call them into question. Call them into the daylight. Call them into the courtroom and challenge them. And let's figure out what the real truths are. In fact, at this time, I'd like to put forth another very important caveat at this time. If you really want to significantly increase the amount of money you're presently earning, then the very first thing you must learn to do is to pay substantially less attention to what others around you are saying and substantially more attention to what that quiet voice that speaks within you is saying. Remember when I gave you the six very simple things to practice before? Last week during the introduction, I said six very simple things. Remember? And what was number four? Okay, well, number four was don't read or watch the news, because the news is filled with how bad the economy is and the unemployment and everything's and Europe's collapsing and this is collapsing and meteors are going to hit us and just all that stuff. And then I said number five, don't participate in conversations about the economy, how rough it is out there, gossip, anything like that, and all those sorts of things. Why is that? Ladies and gentlemen, because whether or not you believe it, you can say, I absolutely don't believe it. Well, you know something? I could take you to the 30th story of a building and say, you know, okay, I'm now going to push you off. This is a really dramatic example. Please forgive me. I'd never push anyone off a building. Let's be real about that. But if I took you to the 30th floor and said, all right, Jeff, I'm going to push you off this building, you could say, well, I don't believe in gravity. Well, you know what? About 15, 16 floors down, I'm going to yell, how's that working for you? And so the point is, you can believe or not believe this at all, but this is going to have an effect on your life. Right? And you have to, the first thing you have to learn is to pay substantially less attention to what others around you are saying and start paying attention to that quiet inner voice that wants to rise up and be great and cause greatness all around you and really break out and to do something fantastic. Those seeds were planted in you for a reason. That speaks within you, okay? And it's saying those things for a reason. So what you must do is strive to become less susceptible to influence that are outside of yourself. You know what? Just do that anyway. Regardless of the effect that it has on abundance, money, prosperity, anything about that, it also affects your health. It also affects your family. It also affects your attitude and personal outlook. It also affects, I'm going to go so far as to, I'm going to go out here on a limb. I'm going to tell you that it affects your lifespan. So learn, strive to become your own man. Strive to become your own woman, okay? I know you're already doing that. And pay a lot less attention to what other people are saying, and don't be as susceptible to those things, and be more inclined to trust the instincts and the feelings that live within you. And as you do so, ladies and gentlemen, you'll begin to develop a magnificent thing. You'll begin to develop a prosperity consciousness. In fact, I believe that you will agree that it is an observable truth that human beings will never enjoy anything they are not yet consciously aware of. For example, we did not enjoy the luxury of traveling in airplanes at tremendous rates of speed until the Wright brothers became consciously aware that there might be a way of how to fly. Thomas Edison developed the conscious awareness of moving pictures and introduced us to a brand new form of entertainment. Dr. Salk became consciously aware of how to develop a serum that would combat the dreadful disease of infantile paralysis, more commonly referred to as polio, and that as a result of Salk's awareness, you rarely hear of anyone contracting that disease today. Alexander Graham Bell became consciously aware of how to transmit the human voice over metallic wires, and as a result, you're listening to me right now. Needless to say, I could go on and on citing example after example. However, the point I want to bring forth to the forefront of your mind is that these inventions, or the knowledge bringing about these inventions, have always been there. You see, the knowledge about airplanes, how to fly, the knowledge about moving pictures, the knowledge of a polio vaccine, the knowledge of voice over wires for telephone transmission, all of these things, the knowledge of the internet, it goes on and on. See, it's not that all of a sudden that knowledge just appeared in that particular year. That knowledge, that energy, that information was always out there. It was just a matter of honing in on it, okay? In fact, all of the knowledge that there ever was or ever will be is evenly present in all places at all times. But it took an individual to bring these thought patterns together and form ideas which developed into what we call consciousness before we could begin to benefit from them. See, we're floating in an ocean. Bear with me here. This is going to get a little thick. We are floating in an ocean. Picture yourself, you're in an ocean of thought energy where all of the knowledge that there ever was or ever will be is present at all times. We are also equally, ladies and gentlemen, you're also equally constantly surrounded by abundance. It's there. It surrounds you. It wants to come to you. Indeed, everywhere we look in nature, our eyes come into contact with abundance. For nature knows no such thing as failure. Therefore, There has never been and there never will be a lack of anything except consciousness or except conscious awareness. So let's say that again. Therefore, there never has been, there never will be a lack of anything except conscious awareness. But if you're going to begin to penetrate this world of wealth, it is absolutely essential you begin to think. In other words, you must open your mind to the stream of thought energy, which will open your mind to this thought of stream of thought energy, which will create an image or a consciousness of prosperity in your mind. You are well aware there are literally thousands and thousands of honest, good, and hardworking people who labor diligently for their entire stay on this planet, and yet they never become wealthy. For those individuals, life is a constant grind from sun up till sundown. But the ideas presented on these pages in this course have been put here in the hope that they will jar your mind and inspire you to open it up to this new type of thinking. And I got to tell you, really, it's actually not a new type of thinking. It's a type of thinking that's been around for forever, you know, this consciousness. And this is what we want to just make you aware of. Consciousness is and always has been developed through thinking. You have to do it on purpose. It's a discipline, ladies and gentlemen. Regardless of what your present situation in life may be, if you ever hope to improve it and truly to become wealthy, you must begin thinking of prosperity in your mind. Thinking is the highest function of which a human being is capable. Let me repeat that. Thinking is the highest function of which a human being is capable. Yet, unfortunately, very few people think. They merely trick themselves into believing that just because some mental activity is taking place in their mind, they are thinking. And the sad truth is, most people are simply exercising the mental faculty called memory. They're playing old movies, and old pictures keep flashing back to the screen of their mind. They're replaying over and over the movies of old and all of the negative programming. Be careful. Money doesn't grow on trees. You'll hurt yourself. That's hot. Be careful. You don't want to do that. Don't take risks. People with money, they're not really happy. People with money, they're evil. What all these different programmings that somehow got into our mind. You know, the many, many people still think that the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. Raise your hand if you think the Bible says money is the root of all evil. It doesn't. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you study the original language, not to be a theologian with you tonight, but if you study the original language, it drills down even deeper to what we're speaking about tonight and goes back to what I said, which is love people and use money. It's really imperative that you begin this new way of thinking at this moment, because as you do, every fiber of your being will become filled with this new kind of thought energy. Now, when I say something like thought energy, if you're uncomfortable with those terms, if that's a little too metaphysical for you, then just think in terms of spirit. Think in terms of whatever religious doctrines that you're comfortable with. But your body, the truth is, and by the way, this is scientifically measurable, your body is comprised of millions and millions of cells. Each one of them is influenced in its movement by thought impulses. Now, this is not theory. Scientists have measured this and proven this. So the second you begin entertaining relaxing thoughts, for instance, your body will become more relaxed. The instant you begin entertaining worrisome, fearful thoughts, your body becomes rigid and tense. As you begin to hold thoughts of prosperity and begin thinking of yourself as a very wealthy, prosperous, and deserving individual who is surrounded by an ocean of thought energy, swimming in a sea of plenty, well, then your body and your mind will instantly move into a prosperous vibration, or maybe if it's more comfortable language for you, a more prosperous spiritual condition. And you will begin to attract just like a magnet, everything necessary for you to become wealthy. You know, see, the real power is and always has been within you. See, below the level of your consciousness is the great treasury of your subconscious mind, and that is the part of your personality we want to begin to influence through these new thought patterns. In order to make the issue definite and concrete, consider the following statement. Consider this statement. Any idea, plan, or purpose may be planted in the subconscious mind by repetition of thought empowered by faith and expectancy. I'm going to repeat that. Any idea, plan, or purpose may be planted in the subconscious mind by repetition of thought empowered by faith and expectancy. I believe there's a book that says, you know, if you have enough faith, you can say to a mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and that it shall be done. You might be asking, look, can this statement be demonstrated to be true through experimentation and observation, or is there any known method or technique by which the proof may be secured, and if there is such a method or technique, is it available to everyone? Well, these questions can all be answered with an emphatic yes. Now, as you continue with this course, you're encouraged to test and experiment with the ideas that will come forward in the rest of the course outline. You will answer all of these questions for yourself. They won't be dictated by me. And it is necessary that you answer them for yourself. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as human beings, we will not truly believe, okay, anything like this until we discover it for ourselves. This course is being conducted in the sincere hope that, you know, it leads you to the many discoveries that lie within you by the repetition of these prosperity ideas. You must begin to see money as an obedient, diligent servant, because that's what it was intended to be for you all along, and that you can use it to employ to earn more money, and that you can then use it to provide services far beyond the service that you could ever physically provide yourself. It is necessary that you feel comfortable. We've been talking about this. It's necessary that you feel comfortable when you talk about money, and that you understand that this is a condition of being born rich. You have all the mental tools necessary to attract thoughts that you're surrounded by, to create the consciousness you must create in order for you to have the wealth that you choose. I just love this statement put forth in the coursework. Lack and limitation can only exist when we make room for them in our minds. It's worth repeating, don't you think? Lack and limitation can only exist when we make room for them in our minds. But prosperity consciousness knows no lack and limitation. Resolve to completely remove the lid from your marvelous mind. Come on, with respect to your own earning ability at your full-time job, in this business venture, in anything that you touch, understand that the wealth you're seeking is and always has been seeking you in return. So open wide the doors of your conscious mind now and begin to receive it. Begin immediately to play a mental game with yourself. Get into the habit of visualizing over and over yourself in possession and deserving great wealth. Think of some of the things you would do with the money and then mentally start doing them. Since your subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between actually doing something and visualizing yourself doing it, this exercise will very quickly help you to develop a prosperity consciousness. Remember, it's an absolute law of your being that you must have something mentally before you can have it physically. I'm going to repeat that. It is an absolute law of your being. You must have something mentally before you can have it physically. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen, also understand that everyone talks to themselves mentally, whether or not you know it. We're all speaking to ourselves mentally all day long. In fact, some people I know even do it out loud. That's kind of comical. Actually, wait a minute, hold on. Sometimes I do it out loud. I already told you that. Therefore, whenever you're carrying on your private conversations with yourself, always talk about how good it feels to be wealthy, how deserving you are to be wealthy. You were born rich. It's your birthright. Money is your servant. You love people, and you use money. Congratulate yourself on becoming wealthy, and hear, you know, in your mind, in your subconscious, begin to hear others congratulating you on your wealth as well, and congratulating you on the fact that you deserve it. You should realize that although this might appear to be a game that you're playing, what you're doing is one of the wisest things you can possibly do. You're working from a higher to a lower potential. I'm going to explain that in a moment. You're working from a higher to a lower potential. You are embarking on a program of self-development such as you never have before. You are about to learn that there is much more to yourself than meets the eye, and you must apprehend this hidden factor of your personality. You see, if you're ever to develop yourself properly, in truth, you will never see the greatest part of your being because it is non-physical in nature. In fact, you will soon become aware that you are constantly living simultaneously on three distinct planes of being. You are spiritual. Now, by the way, this conversation really has nothing to do with religion or any particular dogma. So please don't go there, okay? This has to do with universal law, and this crosses all religious and dogmatic boundaries. So just relax. I'm not preaching to you tonight. I'm teaching and training you on something, okay, that will benefit you in every way, shape, or form. So let's go back to this. We're constantly living simultaneously on three distinct planes of being. You are spiritual. You have an intellect. And you live in a physical body. Now, to better understand this abstraction, you must keep in mind that you are living simultaneously this way, okay? First of all, this is the highest potential, is the spiritual plane of thoughts. It's the spiritual plane of your thoughts. So what's the difference? Well, they are your thoughts at the spiritual level. And many times, you'll know them because they just come to you. They come to you like, what's the word I want? They just kind of come to you out of the blue. They come to you like an intuition. They come to you maybe like a gift. They come to you like an urging. They come to you. You know, some of the most fantastic things that have occurred in my lifetime, some of the things I'm the most thankful for, some of the things that have blessed me and others the most, are things that just came to me, almost out of the ethers. They just came to me. They were thoughts at a spiritual plane. That's the highest potential. In the middle potential, our intellectual plane of ideas. That's our kind of our thinking, just the way we think of things. And our lowest potential, by the way, is our physical plane. So therefore, by doing what I have suggested you do, you are merely using your divine nature, if you'll let me use these words, to choose your thoughts. In other words, money is good. I love people and I use money. Money is a servant. I am the master. I deserve wealth. These things will build an idea, okay? In our case, this idea happens to be that of great personal wealth or true financial success. Now, being very aware that ideas such as the idea of financial success never form by themselves. Do you hear me? Be very aware that ideas such as financial success, they don't form by themselves. The human personality must always enter into the process by thinking the thoughts which can then be used to build the idea. That is the very thing that makes the human being more godlike or more God-connected, you could say, okay? It would be a creative way to say it, okay? So, the order of creation, our thoughts at the spiritual level, and then that's the highest plane. The middle plane are thoughts or ideas at the intellectual level that you're thinking through and perhaps reasoning through, and then everything at the physical level, or as something becomes a thing at the physical level, it's the lowest level. So how does that relate to money? Just very quickly, let me give you an idea. So there are spiritual ideas and laws of the universe that we've been talking about tonight. Those are laws and thoughts at the spiritual level, at the highest level. As you begin to work through them and practice some of the exercises As we begin to wrap up here, as you begin to practice some of the exercises and go through some of the things we've talked about, those are ideas at the intellectual or mid-level range. And then when you end up with more money in your bank account, that's the actual physical thing, okay? That's where the energy of money has manifested itself onto the physical plane. But you know what? That's the lowest level of it, okay? Now, most people will look at the result in their life, okay? They look at their bank account. You look at what's in your checkbook, and they let that result dictate the thoughts they will use. Think about that. We look at our checkbook balance, look at your pay stub, you look at your current situation, you pull out your wallet, you look at your credit card statements, whatever. And I'm not, you say, well, Mark, what are you saying, that I abandon all that and not paying attention to it? Of course not. I'm a very reasonable, intellectual person and a very critical thinker. I'm not saying you abandon reason and logic by any means. But what I'm saying is you don't let those things dictate your thoughts. You build the ideas that you use to move on with the rest of your life. Okay? For example, if you see that your bank account is empty, understand that is the result of something. Okay? So don't choose to think thoughts of lack or loss, and because then that's going to, lead to more thoughts of more lack and loss and that kind of thing. Okay? What we want to do is, since the idea that people hold on to in our mind, is we must manifest different and future results. So, or else we're going to repeat the performance of the very thing that we say we don't want, namely an empty bank account. Thus, it becomes a self-doom, fulfilling cycle that we begin living, and clearly, this is not the way we are intended to live. All right? So, you might be saying to yourself, this is an absurd argument, for if a bank account is empty, it's empty. It just isn't realistic to look at an empty bank account and be able to visualize great wealth. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, I want to tell you something from experience. I want you to know something, that this very kind of reasoning, which is what perpetuates poverty and keeps people impoverished. In fact, this is a key. You must begin to understand that the present state of your bank account, your sales, your health, your social life, your position at work, et cetera, is nothing more than the physical manifestation of your previous thinking. Where you are today is your thinking from yesterday, from last week, from last month, from last year. If you sincerely wish to change or improve your results in the physical world, you must change your thoughts and you must change them immediately. You must begin this creative process, which will, begin to take you, and using universal law, into a whole different stream of consciousness. You can use this, with these exercises and with affirmation. If you don't like to use the word affirmation, use the word prayer. But it begins a movement that takes place between spirit and form. It connects spirit and form with and through you as the individual. God has given you the ability to build any idea which you desire, and the idea that you were born rich and your abundance is contained in thought. So be good to yourself. Choose magnificent ideas and cease permitting your physical world to control your thinking. Let me say that again. Be good to yourself. Choose magnificent ideas and stop permitting your physical world. Stop permitting the news. Stop permitting your coworkers. Stop permitting your family. Stop, and I'm going to go so far as to say, stop permitting sometimes your theologian to control your world of thinking. Call in things into question. See if they make sense. And hopefully by now you'll understand the wisdom of some of these mental exercises that I've been suggesting. Keep repeating, I am prosperous. I am wealthy. Money is good. I deserve wealth. I deserve money. And see yourself in your mind's eye doing what you will do when you have the manifestation of all of these things, and the attitude and the consciousness that you'll have. Visualize this great wealth and feel yourself already in possession of it. Remember, money is your servant. You are the master. You love people, excuse me. You love people and you use money. This is very, very important. Refrain from talking to a lot of people about this new idea concerning money. As I begin to close out tonight, I have to tell you, what we've covered tonight are some very, very ambitious ideas, right? In fact, many of you have probably had a tough time keeping up with them. I'm not saying that in jest or saying that looking down or anything like that. I'm just saying a lot of these ideas are pretty ambitious ideas. So you want to refrain, you want to be careful who you talk to about these new ideas until you yourself have a firm grip on it yourself and feel confident about explaining it and explaining what you've learned. See, hearing negative comments from people who do not understand the truth or who are not as committed to the truth as you are or not committed to this kind of information, it just won't do you any good. Ladies and gentlemen, if it does anything, it will only cause you to doubt yourself. You must not permit this to happen, because when you think about yourself and money, you want to picture a beautiful picture. You want a beautiful picture to fly onto the screen of your mind. Okay, let's recap just very quickly. Some of what are the most important things that we've learned from Section 1 of You Were Born Rich. Number one, decide exactly how much money you want to earn in order to live how you want to live. Number two, decide exactly what the amounts of money are for specifically. Number three, visualize and affirm constantly, I am wealthy. Money is good. I use money and I love people. Money is my servant. You know, one of my favorite things to say is, money flows to me freely and effortlessly and constantly from many sources, and I always do the right things with money. Number four, take immediate action as action plans come into your mind. Number five, understand that if other people can and have, then you certainly can. Number six, develop a disciplined mind and an activity level. There's a saying I love, master of one, master of many. If I can't lead one, I can't lead any. And of course, that one is ourself. Number seven, practice visualization and affirmation of seeing yourself currently, earning the income you've decided upon, and living in the manner that you've chosen, and realize that it is good and spiritual to do so. And then number eight, praxis. The word praxis is spelled P-R-A-X-I-S. I love that word, praxis. It stands for, there's many different ways to interpret it, but one of my favorite ways is act, reflect, act, continuum. So it's act, reflect, act, continuum. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up Section 1 of You Were Born Rich. Continue to monitor yourself and the six simple things from the introduction. Reflect on your life this week and that you are intended to live a bountiful life of a great harvest. Be willing to take action immediately and treat others correctly in all of your words and deeds. And be back on the call next Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Same call number, same password. And as you go deeper into You Were Born Rich, and next week we're going to talk about two great subjects. The Section 2, we're going to cover two great subjects, which are the image maker and then let go and let God. It's going to be fantastic. I just want to close out with this four-sentence poem. You ready? This is just such a great poem. Four sentences. The good life is expensive. There is another way to live that doesn't cost very much, but it isn't any good. This has been Mark Scovern live from Tampa Bay, Florida, and I'm grateful for our time together this evening. Create a great week and good night.